Hi, I'm Ella Shawn, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest.
Have you heard the new Enchanted Beast Podcast? Oh, right, because it's been 2 weeks and nobody's heard anything from Ella. Wait, what? You said she has another one coming up? Really? Oh, we finally getting to level 5? Are you serious? About damn time. Okay, I know. We'll talk about it. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? Okay, I know. I fell slack and I'm sorry. I'm 2 weeks late. And for that, I apologize. Sorry, not sorry. But I will endeavor to explain why it's taken 2 weeks for me to get to this level. Y'all, every time I got started, I was like, I cannot say this stuff. I can't talk about this stuff. I really was like, oh God, what am I doing? I wasn't ready to accept the message. I wasn't ready to give the message, really, because it cut me up. And I was like, I'm not bleeding all over this podcast for these people. I'm not doing it. Yep, that's the truth, right? I kind of allowed everything around me to dictate how my time was going to be used because, again, I was bleeding. And I was just like, I'm just going to lick my wounds and keep on moving. And I kind of, you know, I gave up my right to be in my own sacred space, which is where I create, where I record, where I do my thing. I gave that up because, again, I was bleeding. I was bleeding out. This freaking level 5 bled me out. But, you know, Lilith, my enchanted beast, she came in full bitch mode and was like, not today, Ella. We're going to get this done. So if I have to do it or if I have to kick your butt to do it, whatever it is, it's going to get done. And so here we are. Because, as you know, I really have no say-so when Lilith decides that, you know, shit has to get done. I just do it. So, welcome to level 5, the final level in our elevation series. Normally, I would do this in-depth recap for people who were joining. But I'm like, yo, if you came in at the very top level and you don't know what's going on, I'm not giving you a rundown. You need to go back and listen to levels 1 through 4 and catch up, right? But I will briefly kind of list our levels. At level 1, we talked about listening. Level 2, it led to understanding, and understanding led to level 3, which is progress, and level 3 led to level 4, which is change, and change leads us into elevation. That's the whole goal of this series, is to elevate more and more new awareness from the collective unconsciousness into a collective consciousness. So what does it mean to elevate, Ella? Well, when we talk about elevating, it's a verb. So it's active. We want activity, movement, motion. We want to purposefully raise awareness to a more important or impressive level. That's what it means to elevate, to simply raise up. And so to do that, we have to be willing to dig deep. We have to dig deep if we're going to raise anything up. And as always, every level requires that we take it upon ourselves first, that we learn to listen to ourselves first, that we gain understanding of ourselves first, that we continue to progress and move through discomfiture in ourselves first, that we are able to change and adapt and accept change and adaptation within ourselves first. And of course, we have to understand, or excuse me, we have to elevate. We have to elevate our unconscious awareness, right? We have to elevate that information within ourselves first, before we can do anything with humanity. So the process of self-elevation, it really does begin when we start looking at personal limitations, things that may limit us in moving forward, in moving up, things that may limit us in hearing and listening to ourselves, aspects that limit our understanding of self, right? We have to look at those limitations in our lives that keep us from elevating. And this was one of the things that really kind of had me hemmed in as I was preparing for my podcast 2 weeks ago, and this is one of the first lacerations I received, looking at my own limitations and looking at what's been keeping me from self-elevating, what's been keeping me from truly listening to myself, what's been keeping me from truly understanding myself, what's been keeping me from truly allowing myself to progress, right? Like having to truly take that hard look and say, yeah, this is a limiting factor for me and I'm holding on to it. The cuts were deep, y'all. I'm not lying. Like I'm still bleeding out. So I'm wounded as I you know, do this podcast. So I had about six limitations that I came up with that kind of causing stagnation in my self-elevation. I was raised and I adhered to, I was a staunch Christian for a good chunk of my life. And having those foundations in traditional religious ideology has posed a limitation for me. It has proven to be a limitation for me in self-elevation. I am a Black woman. And because I identify as a Black woman, in both gender and biological sex, those are limitations that I associate. That's what I should say. I associate my racial identity and my gender identity, biological sex, I associate those things with limitations. The fact that I grew up poor, and I've since gone on to attain, you know, college degrees and advanced degrees, and I've had this great career, and then of course I was struck down with lupus and all the other things, and so my financial situation is not optimal right now. Socially, I'm still great. You know, I'm fortunate and blessed to have a husband who works and supports our family, but economically, I'm not where I was or where I could have been had I been able to continue in my career. And so I see that as a limitation. And then I look at, you know, oh, my educational level. Well, yes, I have a bachelor's, and yes, I have a master's, but I don't hold a PhD, right? And I don't have like coaching credentials. And so I look at stuff like that as a limitation, right? And then of course, there's disabilities, mental disabilities, physical disabilities, emotional disabilities. I have them all as a result of living, right? And so for me, I look at these things as limitations to me, right? Elevating. And so when I started really thinking about how I was going to frame this podcast, yeah, it cut me deep. So as they say in the old churches, I'm almost positive I'll be stepping on some toes in this podcast. I'm 100,000% sure that somebody's going to be pissed with something I'm going to say. And I will not apologize. I will not ask for forgiveness, because the reality is very simple. I had to look inside and acknowledge these limitations, and I am sharing them with you. So if they hit you, then take it, right? The first thing I had to get over, the first thing I had to tell myself was very simple. Limitations don't set limits. That's it. Yes, Ella, you have limitations. Some of them are for real. Some of them are perceived. Some of them don't even matter. But yes, there are always limitations in life. However, those limitations do not have the ability to set limits on what you're able to do. Limitations don't set limits. That's the first thing I had to tell myself. Because if I'm not moving forward, if I'm not elevating new awareness from my unconscious into my consciousness, then I am setting those limits on myself, or I am accepting limits that have been imposed on me. But any limitation I have, perceived, real, or otherwise, they don't set limits. That's the first thing I had to come to grips with. Is that any limitation I have does not have the ability to limit me. And once I kind of got that in my head, right? Once I stop bleeding enough to really focus on that, limitations don't set limits, then I was able to understand one important truth. Every limitation that I listed, wasn't a limit. It is the beginning. It is the start of elevation. When I can honestly acknowledge a limitation in and on my life, something that is keeping me from doing what I want to do, when I can acknowledge that, that's the beginning of raising more and more new awareness from my personal unconsciousness. How? Okay, listen. So here's what I was struggling with. I am no longer a practicing Christian. So if one were to ask me, Ella, are you a Christian? I would say no. And I don't have an issue with that. However, I spent a good chunk of my life practicing, studying, believing in Christian ideologies, ideals, and doctrines. And because that is my spiritual foundation, there's still lots of me, right? There's still lots of parts of me that for some reason can't get over the idea that I am to submit and be humble and worship God. And so I've been having a hard time reconciling my new knowledge that no, I'm not separate from God. I'm not beneath God. I'm not here to worship God. I am here to bring about the work that I've chosen to bring about in concert with the universe, right? My beast, Lilith, she already had the conversation with the universe, and they have already come up with this great plan that she wanted to execute. And so I am here to execute this plan. But it's been hard for me to reconcile my foundational beliefs with my honest to goodness spiritual belief. And so this first limitation of traditional faith systems and then elevation, I've really had to cut ties with that. I've had to denounce that way of thinking because it is no longer my truth. It is no longer my reality. I am not that person who believes that I am here to worship a God who sets high and looks low, a God who grants my wishes like some kind of genie. I am not here to pray to a deity who is vengeful and wrathful and angry. I'm not here to be a subject to be a disciple of a petty, jealous God. That's not who I am. That's not what I am. And I have to be bold enough in my newness, in my new awareness, I must be bold enough to say clearly, I have a God in me. Lilith, my enchanted beast, what enchants me is divine. And she holds counsel with the universe. We walk in tandem. I don't bow down to her. Sometimes she smacks me around. However, I don't bow down to her. We are in tandem. That limitation caused me to look deeper and to finally sever the antiquated thoughts and ideas that were holding me down. Now, okay. I'm a Black Southern woman. I'm 44. So I've been around long enough to know what's up with race. But really, you don't have to be 44 Southern and Black and female to understand that this country, America, God, forget America, that the entire world has an issue with people who are darkly complected. There is not a place on this planet where people don't value light skin. Asians, Africans, darker ethnicities of Europeans, everybody wants whiter skin. People are bleaching their skin. Asians are putting in eyelashes and eyebrows, and everybody's going blonde, and everyone's getting as light as they can, and they're augmenting their noses and their lips and their cheeks. So people of color, we all over the world have this associated limitation with our skin color and our ethnic features. So yes, this I've always perceived as a limitation, even though I'm always like, yep, I'm so happy to be Black. I'm glad I don't have to do this. And I wouldn't ever want to be anything other than Black. And that's all true. It is all true. And this is all true. I've always perceived my color as a limitation. I've always perceived being Black as a limitation for me to do anything that I wanted to do. Like, don't dream too big, girl, you're Black. Don't think you're gonna become a best-selling author, you're Black. Don't think people are gonna pay butt tons of money to hear you speak because you're Black. The best you can hope for is that a few people read your books. The best you can hope for is that somebody's listening in to your podcast every now and again. The best you can hope for is maybe, I don't know, you won't die unknown. When I was an educator, I remember one of my principals gave me this book. They made it into a movie, Freedom Writers, where this this little white woman who came from a very privileged family and was supposed to be on her way to law school decided she would teach English in an inner city school in LA, which was completely infested with gang members and poor, you know, poor students, and they didn't have good books, and they didn't have this, and they didn't have that. And so this little woman, I think her name is Erin Gruwell, she goes in and she connects with the kids, and she's, you know, she loses her marriage over working jobs so she can provide this, that, and the third. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, great. And I read the book, and then, you know, I saw the movie, and I said, why did you give this book to me? Well, because you do so much for your students, and you remind me so much of this teacher, and I just wanted, you know, to give you this. I said, I don't need this. I don't need to see a white woman in a predominantly marginalized, racially underserved, underprivileged school getting all this recognition because she had some students write in a journal. And I don't mean to sound like I'm discounting what she did, because yay her. Any educator who goes into any classroom and can make a difference in any student's lives, yay you. However, if Erin Gruwell had been a black woman who went into that school and did what she did, nobody would have said anything, because they would say, oh, well, that makes sense, because they can identify with her. They're all of color. It was only extraordinary because Erin Gruwell was white and from an upper middle class home and didn't have to be in that classroom teaching. She could have gone on to law school. She could have stayed married to her hunky husband and popped out some kids and not have to do any of it. But the assumption is, if it were a black teacher, well, this is, they're supposed to go in and make these changes. And so, yes, being a black woman, I've always looked at that as a limitation. And I had to do a lot of soul work. I had to do a lot of coming to Lilith and saying, girl, you got to get this monkey off my back. Because being black isn't a limitation. Being Latina isn't a limitation. Being Asian isn't a limitation. Being Native American isn't a limitation. Being Pacific Islander isn't a limitation. Being Aboriginal isn't a limitation. Being of color is an asset. Ask me how I know. Okay, Ella, how is being black an asset? Black American culture has permeated every culture in the world. There's not a country in this world that does not have hip hop as a part of its culture. Ask me how I know. Black American culture has set the precedent for civil rights movement all over the world. When people want to rise up, they march. When people want to have change in the government, they march. Being black is not a limitation. It is a wide open door. Black women specifically. Ask me how I know. Ella, how do you know that being a black woman is not a limitation? I'm not going anywhere getting fat taken from my ass to put in my lips so that they can be bigger. I don't spend any time in the tanning bed or getting spray tan so that my skin can be darker. I'm not out here putting all types of product in my hair so it can be coarser, thicker, curlier. I'm not requesting plastic surgery to make my hind parts bigger and my thighs curvier. And so, yeah, there are no limitations with my skin color. I'm Black. I'm a woman. I gender identify as female. I'm biologically sexed as female. And there is power. There is power in all of that. But I had to dig deep. I had to really deal with all of my shit and all of my self-loathing, self-hatred. Because I had it, right? You don't grow up Black in America and not hate some parts of yourself. You do not grow up Black anywhere and not hate some parts of yourself. I told you, I was cut open and bleeding. Okay? Cut open and bleeding. Now, the socioeconomic situation, I'm not gonna lie. Chances are, if you're born poor, you'll probably die poor. And that's so sad. It ought not be that way. It used to not be that way in this country. And that's the truth. Like, there was a time when you could be born poor and you could work your way into middle class, into upper middle class, into I'm so rich I can't see straight. Yes. And you didn't have to pick up a ball, or you didn't have to run on a track, or you didn't have to sing or rap or dance or act. No. You could work in industry and become something greater than you ever thought possible. But the reality is very simple. There is no American dream. It's only the first of the month. That's it. But even that is not a limitation. It does not matter where you fall on the socioeconomic status gradient. It doesn't matter if you are in poverty. It doesn't matter if you are wealthy in the 1%. None of that matters because there are no limitations unless you accept them, right? So if you're poor, fine. But being poor has nothing to do with who you are as a person. It is a circumstance in your life, but that circumstance does not set limits for you. That is the beginning of your elevation. So here's where I was. No, Ella, you don't have the income coming in that you used to. No, Ella, you don't have access to all of the, say, material things that you used to have access to. But you're still Ella Sharn. And what you do have is gratitude. Okay? What you do have is a freaking MacGyver knife of tools. You have gratitude. And really, that's all I need is gratitude. So I don't have $50,000 in the bank, but I'm grateful that I also don't have $50,000 in debt. I have gratitude. No, I can't go out here and buy my kids brand new cars when they turn 16. But I'm so grateful that I have my kids and they're turning 16. Gratitude. There is something wonderful about being grateful for what you have, for focusing on what you are, what you can do, where you can go, who you can talk with. Because the more gratitude you pour out into the universe, the more she gives you to be grateful for. It's the beginning of elevation. So being poor, being broke, being on the fringe of society, being marginalized, being looked over, being in the social class that people don't even pay attention to, belonging to a group that most people never even know about, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Your invisibility gives you access to places where those folk who have everything just can't go. So you hear, you listen. You listen. You gain understanding. You begin to progress. Throughout the progress, even when it's not comfortable, you begin to change. And through this change, you begin to grow and elevate, right? That's cool, Ella and all, but you know, you already have a master's degree. And you can say, oh, but I don't have a PhD, but you have a master's degree, which means you graduated from high school, you graduated from college, you graduated from a master's program. So you have done some education. You have education. I don't have education. I barely got out of high school. I have never known anybody to go to college, not even like a technical school. I've done nothing. And you're telling me I'm going to elevate myself and others? Man, get out of here, Ella. I call bullshit. Because there are no limitations. Yes, I went to college. Yes, I have a master's degree. Yes, I'm educated according to whoever decides that I am. My college degrees, none of them. None of them make a difference in what I do in my life right now. They don't. Everything I've learned, the stuff that really matters, I learned through reading books that I like, going to lectures, listening to lectures and TED Talks, listening to great music, talking to different types of people. Education does not take place in school. So what? You're in an area where the school sucks. Fine. We can't all go to big, giant magnet schools, right? But the library is free. And the bus runs every day. Information is out there. You want to get some knowledge? Go spend some time in senior citizens' homes and just sit down and talk with your elders. You hear something in a song that you don't quite understand? Go look it up. See what they're alluding to. The reality is extremely simple. Education, or the level of education, is not a limitation for you. If you don't have a degree, a diploma, a anything, then that is not a limitation. That is a beginning. And if you want those things, then you go get them by any means necessary. So no, how can I elevate when I can barely graduate? Then go graduate. That becomes a part of your process. That becomes a part of the progress. These perceived limitations, they are the start of elevation. That's where we get to digging deep and figuring out what we've been allowing to hold us back. And more importantly, why? Now, I'm speaking on this because I can. Right? I can tell you, I got a lot of shit wrong with me. Physically, mentally, and emotionally. There are days I can't get out of bed because I can't walk, or I'm so fatigued, I can't even move. There are nights when I'm in so much pain, all I can do is scream and moan and cry. There have been times when I've lost my vision. I was unable to see. I've been depressed. Sometimes I still get depressed, depending on what's happening with me. With my narcolepsy and cataplexy, I have what's called hypnagogic hallucinations. I've seen some strange shit. Stuff that was really, really scary. Lucid dreams, oh baby. It's so bad. Sometimes I have anxiety attacks. Because my cataplexy causes dissociation sometimes, and I don't know where I am or what I'm doing or how I got someplace. And I can say, God, I'm so limited with what I'm able to do. I have cognitive dysfunction disorder. My memory's bad. I can't concentrate. I can't focus. Yeah, these are limitations. No doubt. These are definite limitations, but only I can allow them to become limits to my elevation. And sometimes I have allowed them to become limits. And that's the part where I have to acknowledge, yeah, you have some limitations, Ella. However, only you make them limits. So now, do the work and elevate. So when I talk about limitations, we have to really be honest with ourselves, right? So here's your limitation recap. We give permission to circumstances to set limits on our lives. We do. We're the only people, right? We are the only ones who can give permission for limitations to become limits on what we do. We accept other people's perceptions of our limitations as true facts. So yeah, I'm not saying we don't have limitations, because we do. Everybody does. Everybody has limitations. But when we allow other people's perceptions of our limitations to become true for us, then yeah, we've given permission for those limitations to become limits. We either self-impose our limits or we self-actualize our limits. Either way, we're responsible for any limit that we have on elevating. And the greatest limits on ourselves we create with our mind. That's us. That's on us. So here's some good news. Okay? Here's some good news. Everything you ever wanted is on the other side of your limitations. The real shit that's limiting you. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of your real limitations. Yes, I'm Black. And everything I want's on the other side of that. Yes, I'm a woman. Everything I've ever wanted is on the other side of that. Every limitation is just a door, a gateway. It's an invitation. Every limitation that you have is an invitation to look deeper inside yourself. Dramatic pause over. Limitations invite you to become more self-aware. What does that mean, Ella? What does it mean to become more self-aware? Welcome to level 5, elevating more and more new awareness of self. Right? So I had to go do some research because I want to make sure that when I'm talking about self-awareness, I'm not going to give you my hokey pokey kind of Ella version of it, right? So I found this article that was written by a psychologist, Jessie Zhu. I'm sorry. Her last name is spelled Z-H-U, Zhu. And so I jotted down 4 kind of quasi-definitions of self-awareness. And some of them, you know, they're pretty much saying the same thing, right? The first one's unique components include thought, experiences, and abilities. Jessie came up with that herself. And then Shelley Duvall and Robert Wicklund came up with 2, self-conscious as objective evaluators of ourselves. They also came up with self-awareness is a major mechanism of self-control. I like that. Daniel Goleman, another psychologist, came up with this definition of self-awareness as knowing one's internal states, preference, resources, and intuitions. I liked it. So there are several aspects of each of the definitions that I like. So of course I put them together because, you know, I have to do these things. And as you can imagine, yeah, we're getting ready to go into Word Nerd Girl time because holy hell, it was a process. Okay. So here's what I came up with for elevating new self-awareness. What is self-awareness? Based on these 4 definitions and the amalgamation of the 4 definitions, self-awareness is when we become objective evaluators of our internal states, preference, resource, and intuition. Semicolon. Self-awareness is a mechanism for self-control. So in my mind, that equates to something very simple. Self-awareness equals self-control. If you are aware of self, then you are able to control yourself. Control. Another word for control is restraint. Another word for restraint is limit. Did you guys get that? Self-awareness is the same as self-limitation. Understanding how to limit yourself, how to control, restrain. Anyway, word nerd girl time. Are we ready? We started with objective evaluators of one's internal states, preference, resources, and intuition, i.e. a mechanism or system of self-control. I went through some synonyms because, honestly, that means absolutely nothing to me. Objective evaluators of one's, I don't know what all of, I know what it means, but really, that doesn't mean anything to me. So after some clicky click clicks, I got to unbiased examiners of our inside condition, likes, assets, and instincts, a system of generosity. Okay, I kind of liked that one, but it was still too aloof for me. Like, it just didn't resonate with Lilith at all. She was like, go deeper. Always deeper with this one. And here's what I got to. We become honest experts of our intimate truths, standards, and desires. Self-awareness is a practice of consideration. I like it. I love that. When we elevate awareness, that's what self-awareness means. It means to elevate awareness of self. We practice consideration. Dang. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't expecting to end up here. It is a practice of consideration. Now, a practice is something that you do repetitively. It is something that becomes a part of your life, of your routine, of your daily habits. It becomes a part of you. Elevating more and more new self-awareness becomes a practice. Every day, a practice of consideration. When I look at the word consideration, the first thing that came to my mind was being nice, right? When you're considerate, you're nice. You take other people's situations into account. But this is about self-awareness. This is about elevating more and more new awareness from your unconscious mind. More and more new information about you as a conduit for your enchanted beast. You are raising information that she has hidden within you. That she brought with her. You're raising that information, that awareness, all of the universal truths that your beast brought with her and has embedded in you. We have to practice considering that as a part of us. Yes? How do we do that, Alan? How do we practice raising, elevating more and more information about who we are as enchanted beasts, as spiritually divine beings? How do we do that? We do it with respect of self, for self. We do it with mindfulness. And we do it with forbearance. I know. What? When I looked at the word consideration, I got like a bunch of words, right, for synonyms. One of the words was respect, an awareness, concern, attentiveness, considerateness, esteem for self. How aware of you are you? How much concern do you have for yourself? How much attention do you pay to yourself? Are you considerate of your needs, of your wants, of your desires? Do you hold yourself in high esteem? Do you value and honor yourself? How much do you respect who you are as a woman, as a holder of an enchanted beast? How much do you respect that? Mindfulness was the second word. Kindliness, kindness, mercy, solicitude, tact. Do you behave kindly towards yourself? Are you merciful? Can you forgive yourself? Can you extend grace to yourself? How much tact do you take with yourself when you are engaging in self-talk? Forbearance, favor, friendliness, heed, heedfulness. Are you your own best friend? Do you show yourself favor? Are you patient with yourself? Do you require patience of others with you? We have to practice self-respect. Joan Didion said, "The willingness to accept responsibility for one's own life is the source from which self-respect springs." The willingness to accept responsibility for one's own life is the source from which self-respect springs. Practice self-respect. You have to be willing to pay attention to yourself. Attention to how you are getting along in the world with others. Attention to how the world impacts you. You have to be willing to accept responsibility for what concerns you. Accept responsibility that you are the beginning of how others treat you. You tell people how you want to be treated. You give them cues as to how they will respect or not respect you. Practicing self-respect is the beginning of the practice of consideration, the beginning of raising that awareness. Mindfulness. I know you hear it all the time. Everybody wants you to be mindful. Mindful of what? Mindful of self. Where are you? Here. What time is it? Now. Then why are you thinking about yesterday? Or why are you pondering tomorrow? Yesterday is gone. There's nothing you can do to change what happened. Tomorrow might not even be yours. It doesn't exist. But mindfulness is more than just being present embody, right? Mindfulness is about being, it's about being kind. I know. You're like, wait, what? It's about being kind. Because when you are mindful, you're not passing judgment. You're not being prejudiced about anything. You're not asserting your will, your likes, your dislikes, nothing. When you're mindful, you're simply aware and you're able to acknowledge what is, and then you move on. You don't have expectations. Not for yourself, not for anyone. And then you find this sense of peace and this sense of wonderment. Because when you stop expecting all of this stuff from yourself, then everything that you give is a joy, a treat. When you stop comparing yourself to everyone and everything, then it's easy to be kind to who you are as a person. When you stop taking ownership of everybody else's nonsense, when you stop taking responsibility for everybody else's situation, then it's so easy to forgive you. Any transgressions. Mindfulness is about accepting who you are, where you are, when you are, and being grateful for that person in that moment. No judgment, no condemnation, no expectation. Simply, I am Ella Shawn. I am recording my podcast. I feel calm. I feel happy. I'm comfortable right now. No judgment. I don't expect anything. I don't feel the need to explain myself. I just am. I found this cute little picture on Pinterest, and it says patience is a practice in trust. And then it's Jin, J-I-N. Patience is a practice in trust. When we practice patience or forbearance, we have to trust. What are we trusting? Remember that plan? That plan? Like Lilith and the universe sat down and came up with this great plan. And then she kind of said, oh, I'm going to choose Ella to help execute this plan in the physical world. When we practice patience with ourselves, we are practicing trust in the plan. We don't even know the plan. Lilith has not given me one iota of a clue about what this plan is. She has not said anything to me. She hasn't said, yep, girl, we're on the right path. She hasn't said anything. She simply requires that I trust this plan. And when I practice patience with myself, with my situations, with my circumstances, with whatever is happening, when I practice forbearance, I am practicing trust in Lilith and in the universe and the plan that they have for this life. I'm practicing trust. And that's what life is about. Practice, routine, putting stuff into play so that it becomes a part of who you are. So that even when you are faced with limitations, you are not limited by them. Because the practice of self-respect, the practice of mindfulness, the practice of forbearance, those things supersede limitations. They negate limitations. And they allow us to go deep within ourselves, connect with our enchanted beast, and excavate all of that new knowledge and information that she brought with her and embedded in us. That is what we are elevating. All that new information. Lilith brought so much information with her, and it's so awesome. Every time I get a new nugget, I'm like, oh girl, you did that. I like that. It fills me up. Sometimes I go a couple of days without eating food because I'm gorging on this new information that Lilith has buried in me. And so I practice patience because I trust her. I trust the plan that she has for me, for us. And this is level 5. Elevation is not about raising more and more new awareness from the collective unconscious and sending it out into the world like a satellite beam. It is about risking everything you thought you knew about yourself, facing every limitation you've ever placed on yourself or had been placed on you, going through it, listening to who you are, who your beast is, gaining an understanding of how you and your beast are designed to work in tandem to bring about great change. Going through the progress. Being uncomfortable. Dealing with the discomfort. Coming out on the other side. Changed. Something new. Different. Altogether shiny. And perfect. For the work your beast has chosen for you to do. And what is that work? That work is the raising of more and more new self-awareness from your personal unconscious. The raising of all that wonderful universal information that your enchanted beast brought with her, buried inside of you, inside of your unconsciousness, elevating all of that new information and sharing it with whomever you deem worthy. Sharing it with whomever you consider to be in need of hearing and experiencing it. Level 5. Cut me and left me bleeding. And I'm okay with that. This series, I hope, will inspire and empower you to take the journey. Get in the elevator. Press the up arrow. And see who you really are designed to be. Thank you so much for hanging out in the Enchanted Forest with me. As always, be brave, be beautiful, and be enchanting. Bye.
This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember, stay enchanted.